This meeting is now being recorded.
Okay, I'll start again. I just want to remind you all that we are having two meetings a week, but only if needed. But from the agenda, it looks like we are going to need quite extensive meetings at the moment. This week, though, we only have one meeting. And just before we start, I think we should briefly discuss on how to make the notes, because I saw there were some comments regarding either to make them very detailed and attribute the statements to the speakers, or the other one is actually to write a paragraph summarizing the discussion and outcomes without attribution. And personally, I like the last one because I think we have the recording if anyone is interested, and I would actually prefer having the paragraph summarizing. I don't know if others are. Avery, your hand is up. Avery, go ahead.
Yes, thanks. This is Avery speaking. The other recommendation I had made, that if we do need something printed with names, attribution, very often in meetings, after the recording is transcribed, and then you've got that, you know, word said as names on paper as a reference. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. I can't recall the answer to this. I myself find it's a good idea, so it's easy to get back and look. But Yuko or Trang, what was the outcome?
So, Lisa, what we have, what we're going to try to do today as a pilot and see how it works is that we will be providing the transcription of the call after the call. So the call is recorded. We'll also do a transcription of the call, and the notes taking during the call will be limited to capturing just decisions made, questions that we need to take back and get answers for, and any action items.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I see green checkbox, so great, let's see how it goes after this pilot. Pilot is such a modern thing to do at the moment. Let's keep on. Okay, and I saw that Chuck provided some issues, or he wanted to discuss DTO under AOB, and we should put that in the agenda too.
Yes, we've reflected that in the agenda in the Adobe room, but we haven't actually modified the PDF document to add that, because that recommendation came in after we circulated the PDF,
yeah.
But it added here in the Adobe room.
I can see that now. That's perfect. Great. Okay, that was the opening remarks. So let's get going with the implementation items, right?
Thank you, Lisa. So the first item under implementation is the CSC charter. And next slide, please. What we're showing you here is basically the same list that we shared with you on the last call, except for item number 7. That is a new item, and that item is around what happens after the CNSO and GNSO approve a recommendation from the CSC. We actually had a conversation with Lisa after the last call, and I believe Lisa also had a conversation with Donna Austin, and the suggestion is that the implementation team works directly with Donna and the CSC design team on getting the clarification around these items.
I'm sorry, may I interject? Does everybody have a view of the presentation material?
Yes.
Okay, great. Some of us are having issues with connectivity and just wanted to make sure that everybody does have a view of the presentation material. Sorry for interrupting.
Okay. Sorry about that. So I think the suggestion is that the implementation team works directly with Donna and the CSD design team to obtain clarification on these items, and then that would then be shared with the CWG. Lisa and Donna, is that consistent with your understanding as well?
Yep, it is. And I see Paul Kane is having his hand up. Paul?
So I'll be very brief. I'm very happy for Donna to take the lead on the issue. Putting on a CC hat, I'm afraid to say it's the same repeat as I always make. The CC is a very diverse group, and particularly for determining who the representative should be on the CSC, there needs to be due regard had making sure that both CCNSO members and non-CCNSO CCTLD registry managers are accommodated. I just would like to make sure that as Donna is taking the lead, that is carried through and reflected in the workings to make sure that the diverse group that comprise the CCTLD community is appropriately accommodated. Being quite candid, there will be many CCTLD registry managers who are not members of the CCNSO who don't want to be involved. So I'm not specifically mandating that there should be a place reserved exclusively for non-CCSO members, because that place may never be filled. But there should be a right of presumption that at least one seat be offered or made available to non-CCSO members, and failing anyone coming forward willing to do it, then obviously it has to be filled by a CCN member. But very happy for Donna to take the lead. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Paul, and you raise a very important issue. I see Donna's having her hand up, so Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Lisa. So, Paul, my expectation would be that the CCNSO will develop, you know, processes around finding representatives for, you know, the minimum two CCTLD registry operators, but my understanding is that the CCNSO has always been conscious that there are CCTLD registry operators that live outside their construct, and that they would find a mechanism that they would, you know, include the possibility of those CCTLD operators being involved in the process and able to be represented on CSC if that's their wish as well. So I would think that, you know, Barton would be very cognizant of that. Thanks.
I have to say I share your view, but I think we are discussing the charter, and it's important that there at least is a footnote reflecting that, bearing in mind you mentioned Byron. Byron has now gone. Byron is not chair of the CCNSO. People change, and we are discussing the charter of the body. So I think it's just important that there be a note made to reflect the diversity of group. But I'm very happy for you to take the lead, as I mentioned. Thanks.
Paul, I'd like to add that whatever the implementation team and Donna is doing is not going to be the final call on this. We will bring it on to the CWG to have a final check. So it's not there will still be possibilities to actually look at it and say if you need your footnote or whatever is needed to ensure that non-CCNSO members are also taken care of. And I see that Donna writes that it's not Byron, but it's Bod and Katrina, the new chair of the CCNSO, who is involved in these discussions now.
Yes, and we actually did a brief informal meeting with Katrina and Bart in Marrakesh, actually, just to make sure that they are aware that there will be some work that the CCNSO will have to do. So that conversation has started. Okay. Well, very good. With that, then I think we will move on to the next item for discussion, which would be if I recall correctly, PTI Articles of Incorporation? ARZERT Charters, yes, sorry about that. ARZERT, which stands for Root Zone Evolution Review Committee. What we are showing you here is basically a term sheet for the ARZERT Charter. As a reminder, the ARZERT is a committee that will be formed to provide the ICANN board with recommendations regarding operational and architectural changes to the root zone. The CWG proposal specified many of the items that we have incorporated here on this term sheet for you. The composition of the committee is going to be one person from the ICANN board, possibly the chair, a senior IANA functions operator, administrator, or delegate. The chairs or delegates of the SSAC, RSAC, ASO, and IETF, and a representative of the registry stakeholder group, the CCNSO, and the root zone maintainer or VeriSign. So that's what the CWG proposal specifies, the composition of this committee. As I mentioned, most of what you see on this slide here reflects what's in the CWG proposal. The one thing that is not specified in the CWG proposal that we are adding to the ARZERT Charter is the item around oversight of the RSP for root zone maintainer if needed. The background on why we've added this additional scope for the ARZERT is that in the root zone maintainer agreement with VeriSign, we are adding a provision that will allow ICANN to trigger a transition process to select a new maintainer if via a community-driven consensus-based process is determined that a transition to select a new maintainer is necessary. So if the transition process for the maintainer role is triggered, we think that this ARZERT committee would be the appropriate committee to provide oversight of the RFP process to select a new maintainer. So that's why this has been added as an additional piece of scope, if you would, for the ARZERT. And this is reflected in a couple of places, as you can see there, in the purpose as well as in the scope of responsibilities. And then I see a number of hands up. Let me just cover one last item, and then I'll pause for comments and questions. The one other thing that I wanted to point out is that not reflected on here is how the ARZERT Charter can be amended, and we'll make sure that we add that in for the next call. But our recommendation around that is that the charter can only be amended with ICANN board approval after public comment. So that would be our recommendation in terms of amendment of the ARZERT Charter. So I will pause there, and Lisa, would you like to manage the question queue, or would you like me to?
Well, I think you should do it. So go ahead, Trang, and manage the queue.
Thank you, Lisa. Paul.
Thank you, Trang. I have to say I will read up on the background to this new group. I'm a little rusty with respect to this RZERC group. VeriSign historically have done a very good job at being the root zone maintainer, and certainly if VeriSign wanted to surrender that role and not continue to do it, then I would see a role for making sure there was a process in place to smoothly transition it. I feel a little uncomfortable a body just seeking to trigger it without good cause. And so has it been built into the process that VeriSign has to do something wrong before this process is triggered? But I apologize to the group that I'm a little behind the curve on what this is about, but that was just a question. Thank you.
Sure, Paul. And let me clarify, what we are adding here in terms of an additional piece of scope for the ARZERT isn't to allow the ARZERT to have the ability to trigger a transition process to select a new maintainer. What the role that the ARZERT is going to have is actually that if it is triggered, then their role would come in, which is to provide oversight of the RFP process to select a maintainer. But they themselves, the ARZERT, cannot trigger you know, cannot trigger a transition process to select a new maintainer. There are provisions under, there are specific provisions under the agreement with VeriSign under which a transition process may be triggered. And as you said, I mean, we have had a very good relationship with VeriSign for many years. So, you know, it's just like any other typical contract. There will be certain levels, service level agreements and certain terms that, you know, under which VeriSign would have to comply with and under which ICANN would have to comply with. And if any of those is breached, certainly that could be a cause. So from a contractual perspective, obviously there's some sort of the standard stuff that you would see in a contract that could trigger a transition process. But those are defined within that document. All, as it relates to the topic that we're talking about here in terms of the RZERC, the only additional scope that they would have is to provide oversight if a transition process is triggered. They cannot trigger the transition process themselves. I hope that clarified that. Alisa.
Thank you, Trang. That explanation that you just gave answered one of my questions, which was I was going to ask you what is meant by oversight. And I think just because the use of the word oversight is fairly overloaded within this whole context, I think what you are describing actually to me sounds a little bit more like consultation. You can tell me if I'm getting this right, but this committee, as I understand it from the proposal, is meant to provide architectural guidance and recommendations about the root zone. And so in this case, the way that this fits in is that, if ICANN was going to put out an RFP to change the root zone maintainer, it would make sense that the expertise of this group could be relied upon to, say, review what the requirements are that go into that RFP or potentially, you know, review aspects of the applicants to understand if they are capable of carrying out the duties of the root zone maintainer. Is that, if that is an appropriate understanding of this role, then I would phrase it more as like a consultation as opposed to oversight, just because I think a lot of people are a little leery of scope creep and mission creep for any new body that's getting set up in this process. And so to me, that's the piece that makes it sound like it fits in under the existing description of what this committee is supposed to do. So can you just comment on whether that is correct?
Thank you, Alisa. Actually, that is exactly what the intent would be for the RZERC. And I like the word that you use, consultation, so we'll make a note of that and make that change here. That's exactly what we envision that they would be doing, providing input into the what should go into the RFP is in terms of some of the criteria or things that we should be looking for. Of course, ICANN would carry out the RFP process. You know, we would collect all of the proposals that come in, rate them by the selection criteria that has been defined, and then, you know, consult with the RZERC as to who has the relevant criteria to actually perform the role. So that's exactly it as you described it. And like I said, we'll make a note to potentially change that word to, say, consultation.
Okay, I think that would help because I think if this is described in any other way, it looks like mission creep, whereas if it's just about relying on the expertise of these people in terms of architectural matters, then I think that mm-hmm. makes sense. Just a couple more comments on this.
Sure.
I do not recall seeing anything about the meetings kind of frequency or any of the details included in the meetings bullet here or about voting and quorum in the proposal. And did you find these from the proposal or no?
So not all of these are from the proposal. Obviously, the quorum was not specified in the proposal, but it just seems to be the standard type of, you know, I would think what we have here is anything out of the ordinary. But it's not something that was specified in the proposal. I'm looking through here in terms of meetings. There's some mention here in terms of in the proposal with regards to the fact that the committee should try as much as possible to carry out its work in a transparent manner and that sort of thing. And I think the frequency itself hasn't been specified, was not specified in the CWG proposal, but the mode by which the committee should carry out its work is.
Okay, yeah, that matches my understanding. So all I was going to say about that is that given, you know, this is a committee constituted from the community and from the community proposal, mm-hmm. I would say let those details be determined by the committee itself. In particular, I mean, the one that jumped out at me was, you know, why can't this group operate by consensus? You know, why would they need to vote? And I think those details, there might be a year where they don't need to meet because, you know, we're architecturally stable and everything is great. So that would be my suggestion, just, you know, keep this as close to the proposal as possible and let the group itself identify those details. And I would personally, and this is probably a little speaking out of turn, and I know there's a long queue, so I'll shut up soon, but I would say the same thing about the charter, the recharter. I mean, I'm not clear on why it would have to be, you know, ICANN board approved. It's like if this group comes up with an idea of a need to recharter and the community supports that, that seems like it should be sufficient and should be taken up, you know, whenever the committee and the community feel that's necessary. So that's my last thought. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Alisa. Alan.
Thank you very much. And to be clear, I'm speaking as the person who chaired the group that came up with all of this. Number of things that I see that I'm somewhat concerned about. First of all, and the purpose, the proposal was not only architectural changes, but significant operational changes.
Yep.
That's really critical, and that seems to have been completely omitted from this.
Yeah, I do see that. We'll make a note of that.
Okay, thank you. The next thing is the proposal made it quite clear that these people were not necessarily the wise men and women who made decisions.
Right.
This was a coordination group who would bring in expertise as necessary on particular issues, and I think that needs to be focused on here.
Okay.
And that has an implication on something that was just mentioned of this concept of majority wins. That's just so wrong. We're looking at something where the whole stability and security of the Internet is a question. This is not a majority wins. This has to be by consensus. And, yes, somebody could disagree, and that has to be made clear, but this is definitely not a majority wins. And in many cases, the recommendation may be made by these outside people who were brought in because they're the experts. The people on this group may understand DNSSEC but may not be the experts on DNSSEC. And so a lot of that, I think, has to be folded into that to make sure that we capture the intent of the group, and that is to make sure that when we make changes to the root zone management, how it's operated or its architecture, that the overall Internet community believes this is going to be for the better and not for the worse. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, for those. I've made notes of all of those, and we'll look into it. Everything that you said makes sense. Lisa.
Thank you, Trang. I just look at the scope of responsibilities for the RSEC charter, and one of them is to coordinate with the CSC as needed. And I was wondering, is there a situation where we can where they don't need to coordinate with the CSC, because in my view, it should be mandatory to coordinate with the CSC in these respects, or at least inform the ongoing conversations, because the CSC is going to be an important part of the customers, and this is going to be very much in the heart of the PTI work.
Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, what the proposal says in paragraph 1155 is that the RYSG and CCNSO representatives will ensure appropriate communications with the CSC. So I think it is envisioned that there would be frequent communication between this RZERC and the CSC. So we'll look into how our language is reflected in this term sheet to make sure that it's, you know, captured that spirit and intent appropriately.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Greg?
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton III, for the record, according to the Adobe Connect. following on Alan Greenberg's points, you know, the I'm also concerned about the voting and quorum section here, and agree that voting and majority vote probably, you know, sending us down the wrong road. And I think that so does the quorum issue, especially because the way this is set up right now, you could have 51% or half plus one show up and then half plus one vote in favor of something, which is essentially a quarter of the group. And that could become, a significant decision, again, to the extent that this group is making, you know, significant decisions, which if you're thinking of putting the chair of the ICANN board on it, that kind of puts, you know, a certain aura of significance on it. I look to the GNSO Council and I'm not exactly looking at the words in the GNSO procedures, but the way the GNSO procedures work, in fact, every seat votes, except in very rare circumstances. You know, between having absentee and proxy opportunities and sometimes and also at least under consideration, you know, electronic ballots with time open for a period of hours or days. But the idea is consistent with our consensus-driven mantra, is that a decision in which only a small number of people participate and an even smaller number of people win is antithetical. So whatever we need to say that indeed kind of gets us to the point where everyone participates, especially since this is a small, thin group. You could, you know, have a meeting where the ASO and IETF representatives, you know, somehow don't make it, and all of a sudden, you know, numbers and protocol parameters are kind of out of the room. Or if the registry stakeholder group and CCNSO representatives don't make it, well, yep, all the registries are out of the room. This shouldn't work that way. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. Just a couple of more points. On the quorum, I agree with Greg, and that was sort of implied by my statement that a majority should not be able to make a decision. You can't make decisions on something that's going to be critical to one specific aspect of the root zone without having the people there who are knowledgeable on it. So again, quorum is a concept that is, I don't think, goes along with decisions by consensus and generally by very wide consensus. The other thing is, again, the thing that you shouldn't call meetings on less than 7 days' notice. I would presume that this group is going to be looking far ahead. Normally, if IANA is going to be making some sort of change, this is not done on a whim, on a moment's notice. On the other hand, if an emergency comes up,
mm-hmm,
I wouldn't want to see, sorry, we can't hold a meeting because there's 7 days and we have to wait. This is the kind of thing that we hold the meeting in 5 minutes if we have to hold the meeting. So I think we need to carefully look at all of the bureaucratic parts of this and recognize why this group is there and make sure that we're not putting rules in place that shouldn't be there. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And we'll also take another look at these and figure out what elements should be pulled from being specified in the charter and rather let the group, once it's formed, consider and define it and then perhaps put it into their own operational procedure type of document. So
sure,
we'll do that. Donna, you have your hands up?
Yeah, thanks, Trang. I have two questions. So in relation to the purpose, is the purpose 2 points or 1 point?
Those will be two separate points.
Okay.
Although I see your point, it could be somewhat related. I see where you're going with this. It's put as two separate bullet points, if you would, or two separate sentences here. When the actual language of the charter is drafted, we can consider how they may be integrated together.
It's just the use of the semicolon that's thrown me, so I didn't know whether there was supposed to be an and there or whether, but if it's a period or a full stop. Okay, so it's two purposes of this group. So the second question is that within the CSC charter, and maybe, Alan, this is a question for you, because I'm a little bit like Paul, I'm a little bit fuzzy on this. There's a element of the CSC charter that says the CSC, in consultation with registry operators, is authorised to discuss with the IANA functions operator ways to enhance the provision of IANA's operational services to meet changing technology environments as a means to address performance issues or other unforeseen circumstances. In the event it is agreed that a material change in IANA naming services or operations will be beneficial, the CSC reserves the right to call for a community consultation and independent validation to be convened by the IANA functions operator on the proposed change. Any recommended change must be approved by the CCNSO and registry stakeholder group. Is it, because I'm just going back to taking my mind back to when we had some discussion with the CSC, and I think David Conrad wanted the CSC to be that authorizer of any changes that were required to the root zone, because there wasn't anywhere to do that. So I'm just trying to work out whether this part of the CSC charter is intended to relate to RZERC or not. And maybe it's a question we need to take away and think about, but I just, if Alan, you know the answer, that would be great.
I can try. I don't have that language you just read out in front of me, and I'd have to look at it carefully and whether it in fact meshed with the DTF recommendations on this group, I don't know. It's quite possible that they didn't. This group is there to effectively replace the NTIA. NTIA has been and is involved in virtually any change to IANA root zone operation, to the architecture, to the detailed operation. In other words, IANA could not rewrite some major software that it uses to manage the root zone without approval from NTIA. As an example, the NTIA, in fact, got involved in things far more detailed than that and far more specific than that. But this is – now, NTIA did not do that by necessarily sitting in their Washington office and making a decision. They brought together knowledgeable people, whether it's from the National Bureau of Standards on DNSSEC or other things, to try to make sure that what IANA was doing was going to meet a reasonable level of security, of safety, and it was a good thing. So this group is trying to bring together all of the various interested parties to replace that function. So whether it matches again exactly with what the CSC said in the document, I'd have to look at carefully. But this, certainly the CSC is one of the groups that sits on this group and can bring things to this group. Ultimately, this is the group that has to say, yes, this is a good thing for the Internet, and we will go ahead with it. And in that light, I just noticed, I hadn't noticed it before, the third word of the purpose, to propose, is not correct. This group might propose things, but they may be vetting things that are proposed by some other part of the community, and IANA, operational staff itself for that matter. So propose is not should not be the operational word there. I'm not sure if that addresses your question, and I don't think I can directly address your question without looking at the words and making sure that those original words on the CSC match the vision of how do we make crucial decisions with regard to the root zone. And regarding IANA, by the way, it's not just the root zone; it's the other aspects of the of IANA's responsibility as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Paul.
So very briefly, I'm just reading the top line: the purpose for consideration by the ICANN board. It is the PTI board that is responsible, or should be responsible, will be responsible for the root zone management. Shouldn't it be for consideration by the PTI board? Namely, that is the entity that is managing the root zone, rather than the ICANN board, which is more policy focused. question. I apologize for not being up to speed on the documents.
Thank you, Paul. So the CWG proposal specified the recommendations will be made to the ICANN board, and that the ICANN board will provide formal approval of any recommendations. Alan, I don't know if you want to chime in on that.
Sure.
As well.
I can chime in on that. The PTI board is responsible for the operation of PTI and therefore the IANA functions it's doing. The ICANN board is assigned this task in lieu of the NTIA doing it as a body with wide representation on the interests of the Internet itself. It is not directly related to the other aspects of ICANN's responsibility and remit, but it is a task specifically assigned to the ICANN board. And that was the subject of a fair amount of discussion, and I think there was widespread approval within the group that this is a reasonable body to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. James.
Hi, thanks. So very briefly, I think I'm getting a bit fuzzy on what the scope of this team is supposed to be, because my understanding back during the CWG work was this was to be more focused on the technical stewardship. Rather than, you know, I'm seeing a lot of blurring of the lines between what the role of this group and what the role of the CSC is. So I think we might need to take a step back and have a look and make sure that we're not, you know, crossing paths here between the two groups. Because I think what we have here in front of us now is possibly straying a little bit from what the original purpose of this group was.
Thank you, James. Alan, I see your hands up. I assume you want to respond to that.
Yeah, thank you. I don't think we have strayed in crossing territories. This group is very much responsible for approving changes to how things are done, either operationally how they're done, or if they're of substantial import, or the architecture of the root zone itself. So I really don't think there is any overlap. The proposals may well have been originated in the CSC if they see some need, but this is the group of wise people who really understand the nitty-gritty of what we're talking about to make sure that we're not going to do ourselves damage and stab ourselves in the foot.
Thank you, Alan. All right, thank you, everyone, for that good discussion. So the notes I took away from that discussion is that we'll go back and take a look at these elements that are in the charter and determine what may be more appropriate for sort of a operational procedural type of document that the ARZR committee itself, once it's formed, can create. I've also have some notes here for us to go back and take a look at the votings and quorum requirements there and make some necessary changes, some textual changes with regards to how we reference the RFP process, so perhaps using consultation instead of oversight. So we've got some of those notes taken down here, and we'll go and have another run at this document and then bring it back to you on the next call. All right, so let's move on to the next item, which is the next slide, please. PTI Article of Incorporation. This, again, is sort of a form of a term sheet that we have for the PTI Article of Incorporation. There'll be a name for PTI, obviously. It will be formed as a California nonprofit public benefit corporation that will be 501c3 exempt, tax exempt. It will operate for the benefit of and perform the functions and carry out the purposes of ICANN. Its sole member will be ICANN. Director liability is none, which is the same as the ICANN's articles of incorporation. And then in terms of amendment of these articles of incorporation, they can only be amended with ICANN's approval. So I do see a big queue forming. Paul.
I've already put my comment on email. I'm pretty concerned to see that the purpose is significantly changing for PTI from what IANA itself decreed was its purpose, namely to perform the central coordinating functions of the global internet for the public good. I do notice about a year and a half ago the wording actually changed, and I didn't spot it then, but I think there is significant merit in defining the purpose of PTI to be that IANA has done effectively and well for two decades or more, just to be to perform the central coordinating functions of the global internet for public good. If you want to go into naming, numbering protocols, that's fine, but it's a secretariat function, not a power base. Thanks.
Chuck.
Thanks. This is kind of along the same lines as Paul, but I definitely don't think that the purpose of PTI is to carry out the purposes of ICANN. ICANN's purposes are much broader than the purposes of PTI, so I definitely think some work needs to be done on that.
Thank you, Chuck. James.
Yeah, I'm very much in agreement with Chuck on this one. You know, the purpose of PTI is very much to carry out the IANA functions and their narrow technical remit, and I couldn't agree with what down here is the purpose at the moment.
Thank you, James. Greg?
Thank you. Greg Chatton, for the record. I'm looking at the articles of incorporation for ICANN, and, you know, up to a point, they could follow each other. The first, the general purpose is lessening the burden of government and promoting the global public interest and the operational stability of the Internet. I'm not sure if we need all that intro, but the first thing is coordinating the assignment of Internet technical parameters as needed to maintain universal connectivity on the Internet. Some of this might be a little obsolete, but the general breadth is appropriate. Performing and overseeing functions relating to the coordination of IP address space, performing and overseeing functions related to coordination of Internet domain name system. But even this is starting to sound a lot broader than what PTI itself does, what IANA does. And then it goes on, where it really goes off the rails in terms of purposes, including the development of policies for determining the circumstances under which new top-level domains are added to the DNS root system. That's clearly not a purpose for PTI. So, in this case, one size does not fit all. And, PTI, I'm probably saying the same thing everyone else has said before, but just kind of by reference to the articles that exist, that you can't just take those and move them in wholesale. There needs to be a substantial slimming down so we get to kind of the root, no pun intended, purposes of IANA. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Paul? Paul, was that an old hand or a new hand? Ah, okay. I see that you've taken your hand down. All right. So thank you very much for that. We will take all of those points back and take another look at the PTI purpose. And we'll see when we can get something back to you for review by. We'll try to shoot for the next call. Lisa, it's about 13 minutes to the end of the call, and I know several people on this call have a hard stop at at the end of the hour because we have to jump on another call. Should we pause at this point and maybe move to the next agenda item, AOB? I know Chuck has some things that he wants to cover.
Yes, I think that would be great. It's quite important, and if we have time, we might revisit the document review process and timeline after that. Thank you.
Yes, thank
but,
you.
But I think Chuck should present his multi-year funding of PTI, these issues, and let's discuss it. Chuck,
okay,
you want to go ahead?
This is Chuck. Okay, I explained it in my email message on the agenda, but I'll just quickly go over that. design team all met last week, the same day that the bylaws drafting group was meeting in L.A. on the CWG bylaws changes. And so we took a step of faith and went out and acted without having time for CWG approval. We were fully aware that it was not, that DTO was not authorized to make decisions, but in order to get the bylaws group to work on it, the day that they were working on it, we jumped ahead of the process. So my main question here is whether or not this will be raised in the working group call tomorrow, so that we do hopefully get the approval of the full working group on inserting some bylaws language that would ensure funding beyond 1 year for PTI. So really all I am asking for, certainly I welcome other discussion, but is that this will be covered in the agenda tomorrow. Whether the final approval can happen tomorrow, I understand it may take a couple meetings or some list work or something like that, but just want to make sure that that follow-up happens so that it's not a DTO decision, but rather a CWG decision. And I've reached out to Becky to see if she can tell me what was done in the bylaws drafting group last week, and I don't have any feedback on that. Maybe somebody on this call has it, but hopefully we'll get that shortly.
Thank you, Chuck. I actually think it was really good that you reached out to the bylaws group, even though you didn't have any decision from the CWG, because timing is essential here, and it's better to withdraw a bylaw than have them remake it later. So for me, I absolutely support that decision, and we will discuss it at the call tomorrow. We will also discuss, we have two other issues that was raised by Holly and Sharon regarding bylaws. So there will be a lot of discuss, not a lot, but we will have to discuss these bylaws anyway. And I know I'm not up to speed completely with the bylaws work. I'll try and do that tomorrow. But I know Greg Shutton was there. I don't know if you have anything to add, Greg. I can see you say you're losing brain cells left and right, but
I might have a couple left for this one.
Okay.
I did participate. I was not in California for the marathon sessions that took place. I have to hand it to the folks that were there for the better part of the week. But I did participate in the evening wrap-up calls that did take place, and particularly the CWG one. I think that tremendous strides were made for drafting, particularly the CWG-related bylaws changes, and ultimately the other ones as well. I think there are a couple of outstanding questions that came out. There were a number of outstanding questions that were resolved on the wrap-up calls, and then resolved out in the subsequent call. So I think not sure of exactly the timing at which we're going to see those. I believe that ICANN may have produced a revised draft, which is in the hands of CWG's counsel now. But it seems like, generally speaking, things are on track, which, given the fast track that was determined to be necessary, is quite a feat. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. I don't know if we have time. We have 7 minutes left, and instead of having closing remarks, I actually would like if we can briefly go through a document review process and timeline. trained?
Yes, Lisa, of course. So what we have here is basically a process step that we thought could be used in order to review and finalize the documents that we would have to produce after we get agreement with you on the term sheets on. So this specific process and timeline, I think, is applicable only to the RZERP charter and the PTI governance documents, including the Articles of Incorporation, the bylaws, the conflict of interest policy, and also the whistleblower policy probably doesn't need to be posted for public comment, so that probably isn't applicable here. But it's certainly, this process will certainly be applicable towards all of the other documents that I mentioned. So the process as we envisioned it would be that ICANN would share with the IOTF the term sheet for these documents. The IOTF would review, discuss, and then ultimately agree on those term sheets. What we thought would be the next step could be after that is done, then the term sheets could then be sent to the operational communities for review as well, and any additional input if needed. And we recommended that review period be limited to 2 weeks. And then once all of the reviews and feedback comes back in and the term sheets are then finalized, ICANN would then go and draft the actual documents to the agreed-upon term sheets. And then before it gets posted for public comment, certainly we can coordinate a review with Sidley if required. And then it would then get posted for a 30-day public comment period. And then after that, it will be finalized and presented to the board, ICANN board, for approval. So that's sort of the process that we had envisioned, and we'd love to hear any feedback that you may have.
I can see Alyssa's hand is up, and I also have a comment. But Alyssa, go ahead.
Thanks, Lisa. Overall, I think this looks good, but I would suggest that the process will go more smoothly and more efficiently if the OC review and ICANN draft full document steps are reversed in their order, so that you give the OCs an opportunity to review the full document rather than the kind of high-level term sheet type things that we looked at today. I think otherwise, if you go straight to public comment, having really nobody else in the community having seen the full documents, I think you're going to end up with a whole bunch of comments that sort of could have been dealt with more quickly and more efficiently and in a much easier fashion than you receiving all of them and having to figure out what to do with them with only a single comment period. So that would be my suggestion, is to definitely get the full documents out for some kind of pre-review before public comment, and then the public comment period might go a lot more smoothly.
I completely agree with Alyssa on this point, and I also want to add that we have discussed that the CWG is actually reviewing the full draft also, so we have I don't know if that's included in the OC review, because the OCs are, in my opinion, not covered by the CWG necessarily, but I don't know how we can put the CWG into this process without delaying it too much, but it's the requisite to have the CWG to review it. Paul, your hand is up.
So I'm just in agreement. I think the CWG needs to have time to review the high-level descriptions. They're effectively ambassadors for the work that we are doing, and it's best that CWG members have signed off on the high-level descriptions, understand it so they can liaise with their respective groups. I do high-level, just a general concern. we are racing at a phenomenal pace. And I would, and I know everyone's been saying it for a long time, but I would rather we just slow down and you know, multiple calls per week and all this stuff. It's, we're on overload. We've got day jobs. We've, you know, it's really quite stressful to ensure that we try and get this right. So I would prefer we slow down. I prefer we consult with the CWG and our respective communities before trying to push this through too quickly. Thanks.
I can see we're actually reached the almost the top of the hour, so maybe Trang, if you could revise this and we'll look at it again at the next call, that could be good. We have a next call on Monday next week.
Certainly, Liz.
And I see there's a lot of comments in the chat about we can't slow down, which is absolutely true. We unfortunately have a very strict deadline to meet in order to be able to have this transition. But I know a lot of people are dropping off now, so thank you for participating and talk to you tomorrow or next week.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Bye, all.
Thank you. Bye.